They were smoking something, and I said, you know, give me some. I'll do anything on the table, you know? I don't even know what it was. And I guess I did a lot of it. I was anxious and scared and all this stuff. And then I remember I said to somebody, I feel like I'm dead. There was no escaping. He was in my thought. I'm like arguing with this thing in my head. Really? And it was telling me, yeah, go out and jump in front of a car. I was sitting in the hospital. I don't know if it was a day, 2 days, 3 days. I remember sitting there just staring at the wall, like not saying a word. The doctors, I think they thought I fried my brain, like I was going to be a vegetable the rest of my life.
Hello and welcome back to the Almost False podcast, where I interview regular people with incredible stories. Today's conversation was with a man who overdosed and had a near-death experience that resulted in him developing what sounds like schizophrenia. However, the experiences he had following the incident were most definitely not figments of his own imagination and point to something much more sinister. But before jumping into the story, I asked Ryan some questions to try to understand the context of the night that changed his life forever. Up until you were a teenager, you still thought that your mom was just crazy saying all these things.
Yeah, she was just that crazy Christian lady. I mean, I loved her to death. She's the greatest mom ever. But yeah, the whole Christian thing is... I never even gave it much thought, you know.
Right.
She would drag us to church. I would go every once in a while, then I would just argue with her about, you know, what they said and how dumb it was.
Okay. And how, so your dad obviously had the bigger impact when it comes to the way that you viewed life. How was your teenage years, because that's when people start to find themselves or start to try to go in a different direction than the parents. How was that for you?
I was a bad kid. I was easily influenced. And it's funny because my dad was a police officer. So, and I was running around doing anything, doing God knows what, stealing, not hardcore drugs, but weed, alcohol, cocaine, went to jail. Girls was my thing. That was my drug. Girls, like as many as I could, all dating as many as I could all at the same time. I was a cheater, not a good kid.
And we're talking, like, that's before you were 20. That's before you were even like a legal adult. Well, yeah, 18 is legal adult. So we're talking about like a pretty short period of time where all these things happened. But you said you were like, you love to party, you love to do some of the most common drugs. But there's one night where you went to a party and that changed your life forever. And this is mainly the story of today. It wasn't just a regular night. So can you give me the story of that night that just changed your life forever?
Yeah, we were just hanging out in the living room. A few friends and a couple of them, they kept going into the bathroom, I think. And then they would come back and then they would go back in and then they would come back. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know? And I would ask them, you know, what are you guys doing? And they said, oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Just don't worry about it. I'm like, well, how are you going to tell me that? You know, I got to know, like, what are you guys doing? You know? And they tried, no, you don't want to know. You don't. Sure enough, I convinced them, you know, let me see what you're doing. And they were smoking something. And I said, you know, give me some. I'd do anything on the table, you know. So I said, give me some. And I ended up smoking this stuff. I don't even know what it was. And I guess I did a lot of it. Because I remember saying, oh, I don't feel nothing, you know. And so I kept doing it. And I guess I did a lot.
And you said you didn't know what it was. Do you, like, what drug was it now? Like, did you figure it out?
I'm guessing it was crystal.
Okay. Crystal meth. And what happened? Because in the beginning, there was nothing. And then eventually, I imagine it started to kick in. And what happened at that point?
It wasn't good. Whatever it was, it was not good. I felt horrible. Like, I didn't know where I was. You know, people will say, well, she was just spun out, but which may be true, but it was anxiety, fear. I didn't know what was going on, where I was. I was a mess. And I remember telling them that, you know, I'm a mess. And then I remember taking other stuff to try to counterbalance the way I was feeling. I took other stuff to try to feel better. I was drinking, smoking weed, and taking pills, which would probably, you know, be downers, some kind of pills that were downers. So I'm trying to take all this stuff to try to fix the way I was feeling. And that just made things worse.
Right. The problem, I think, it's very easy to see in hindsight that you had no idea what this was. And then you kind of lost touch with reality to some aspect. You were so confused that you're trying to fix the problem with other problems. And it created a whole mess. But throughout all of this, even from the beginning, it wasn't a pleasant high. It wasn't fun. But that made it a lot worse. And you had some sort of hallucination or spiritual encounter. I'll let people decide whatever they think it is. But tell me what you saw once you started really feeling the effects of all these things together.
Well, I was a mess. I was just an absolute mess. And I remember we went from that house to my apartment. I had an apartment. And I was really not okay. I've already said, you know, I was anxious and scared and all this stuff. And then I remember I said to somebody, I feel like I'm dead. And then that person thought it was funny to be like, well, you are, you know, you are dead. And then I think a couple of my friends were having a good time with me, and they had me fully convinced that I was dead. And I, in my mind, was 100% convinced, like, wow, really? I'm dead? Like, I was in the afterlife. You know, I had died, and this is where we're at now, and it's not bad. And, you know, it's just the way it is. And I was 100% convinced that I was in the afterlife and I was dead. And that's when some of my friends, they said, why don't you lay down? Why don't you lay down and try to sleep? Because I was terrified. And when I lay down, my heart was pounding. And I remember something, some entity, some being from below, like from the earth, just kind of wrapping itself around me, like his arms or roots coming from the earth and just wrapping itself around me. And every breath, it would squeeze tighter and tighter. And it was like it was squeezing my heart. And it was actually really comfortable, very dark. And it, as it would squeeze every breath tighter and tighter, it would pull down into the earth. So it's like my whole being, my whole self was being dragged down into the blackest of night, into the dark, and at the same time squeezing the life out of me. And it was so comfortable. And this like entity could communicate. It was like talking to me. And I remember it saying, come with me. You don't have to go to school anymore. You don't have to get a job. You don't have to work. You just come with me. And I'm like, really? Like, it's all over? Like, I could just go with you? And it's like, yeah. And it was so comfortable. And then I asked him one question. I said, wait, I thought of this. I said, will I ever see my mom again? And he said, no. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I started struggling. I started fighting these roots or these arms, this grasp that he had on me. I started wrestling and let me out of here. And I freaking broke out of it. And then I woke up in my bed. And I was just, what was that? Like, I was so freaked out. I didn't know what that was. I had a near-death experience, I guess. That was it for me. I was a hot mess, and I needed help. And I was very, very confused.
What did you believe in at that time in your life when it comes to spirituality? Because you mentioned you were an atheist. You thought your mom was crazy. Did you believe anything when it comes to spiritual world?
all I knew was that my mom was the nicest, most amazing woman on the planet. And she was that crazy Christian lady. So I had to know there was something to it, you know?
But nothing about like that specific being or demon or earth thing that could have been from your subconscious. That was not like a thing that you would have thought about on your own.
No, I was just a happy-go-lucky, partying, young idiot. Just a young kid.
Yeah, and you said near-death experience. I mean, that's very likely. Odds are you had way too much drugs in your system for you to function, and probably some kind of overdose. And what I found interesting is that you were essentially given the choice to die or to live. And you chose to live. What happened after that? The moment you wake up, and I imagine there was a lot of confusion, but can you try to walk me through your state of mind right after this happened?
I was absolutely terrified, confused. I don't know if it was a day or 2 days. I was in my bedroom of my apartment. At that point, a couple of friends said, come out to the living room, try to hang out, try to relax. And so I did. And I'm sitting on the couch, and there's probably 5 or 6 people in this little living room. I had extreme anxiety. I didn't know what was going on. I was so scared, so confused. And I had this experience where I looked at one of my friends, and like he was inside my head completely, 100%. Like there was no escaping. He was in my thoughts, and it was so freaky and it was absolutely terrifying. And then I had this entity of some sort telling me that I was supposed to kill myself, you know, and I didn't want to kill myself. I don't want to die. But this thing was like telling me, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, that's like your job. Like, that's what you're supposed to do now. Like, that's what's next for you. I'm like arguing with this thing in my head. Like, really? Like, and it was telling me, yeah, go out and jump in front of a car. And I almost got up and ran outside and jumped in front of a car, because like this thing was telling me that's what I'm supposed to do. And it was terrifying. But right before I did that, I stood up and I said, somebody call my mom. That's the only thing I could think of. Somebody call my mom. Like, that's the only person on the planet that can help me. Call my mom. And then she showed up with an ambulance behind her. And they took me to the hospital.
So the first time where you had the near-death experience, there's no doubt that there was drugs in your system. There was a lot of drugs in your system. But what you just explained, you said it was 2 days after it. Is that correct?
Yeah, and reality is kicking back in.
Right, but what I want to ask, because I think it's important, is that at that point the drugs were not in your system anymore. This was not you hallucinating off of whatever you had taken.
Yeah, this is me back in reality. Like, drugs are worn off.
Yeah. So a lot of people would argue the first time was a hallucination, but the second time there was no drugs. And so what that makes me think of is schizophrenia. That's actually something that comes quite frequently on the channel, which is interesting. But it sounds like some sort of schizophrenia that set in after you'd taken the drugs. And then all of a sudden, there's these voices in your head that you start hearing and you lose touch with reality. That's how I would describe to someone what schizophrenia feels like, onset of schizophrenia. A lot of people, when they hear that, they just think that schizophrenia is not real and it's all in your head. Haven't experienced it. Can you explain what it feels like to have these voices? Are they coming from your head? Or is it something else that's giving you these thoughts?
Well, it's very hard to explain. I believe it's 100% demonic. Now, the familiar spirits side of things, that's when somebody that's in the room with you, a friend or whatever, they are taken over and they are used, and then something is speaking to you through them and they're 100% like in your head and they can speak to you, read your thoughts, and you can't escape. Like they're with you, like in your head. It's the best I can explain it.
Yeah. And it came with suicidal thoughts, which is very common. But I want to make the argument that this was not you making it up. And the biggest part, I think, is what happened after, because you talked about your mom called an ambulance. You went to the hospital. What happened in the hospital? What did the doctor say? And can you run me through everything that happened as much as you can remember at the hospital?
So I was sitting in the hospital. I don't know if it was a day, 2 days, 3 days. I remember sitting there just staring at the wall, like not saying a word. My mom and my dad, they tried to talk to me and I just take a deep breath like that. Like, I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I am not okay. I don't know if I'm alive or dead. I just had the most traumatic thing happen to me and I'm lost. And I don't know what to do. You know, my dad would say, don't you want to get up? You know, go back to school, get a job, you know, get back to your life, your apartment. And just stared at the wall, just dead. And the doctors, I think they thought I fried my brain, like I was going to be a vegetable the rest of my life.
So the doctors had no remedy. They saw you and they saw you as kind of a lost cause that they couldn't do anything to help.
Yeah.
So what happened for you to actually get out of that?
I remember my mom, she ended up bringing her pastor from her church down to visit me. And he just prayed for me. And I suddenly started feeling better.
Instantly.
Yeah. Something about the just praying just filled me with some kind of hope and energy. And like, yeah, I want to get out of here and get back to life.
So this is the part where I think this is the key part that is to be understood about your story. The drugs started it, and all of a sudden you got this feeling of darkness, of you got anxiety. And then when you came out, you were anxious, you were confused, you didn't want to do anything, depressed, suicidal. And the moment someone came in the room and prayed for you, all of that went away. So you could say that this is just something that you made up in your head, but the facts of what happened point directly to evil and to God, and not to something that was invented by your brain.
Yeah.
I want to interrupt this interview to tell you about a new clothing brand, Unashamed. Unashamed is a brand that empowers people to live boldly for the gospel. Stop compromising between look and message. Unashamed gives you both. Browse between many high-quality designs and fabrics to find the perfect piece for you. These designs will only be up for a limited time, so be sure to get yours now at unashamed.ca or by clicking the link in the description. Thank you for supporting our ministry. Now, back to the interview. So what happened after that point? You're obviously probably still confused. Can you explain to me how you recovered from that?
I remember I went to my parents' house and I knew that the only thing that made me feel better was learning and understanding what had happened to me and figuring out, like, that's what I needed to do. I was on a mission to find out what the heck happened to me. You know, what was that thing that was wrapping itself around me, trying to, you know, take me down and almost died. And the only answers is in the Bible, and reading books, you know, from Christian authors about these types of things, you know, just everything, all of it, heaven, hell, truth. I had to know it all. I laid at my parents' house on the couch for probably 2 weeks straight, just reading books after books after books. I would tell my mom, go give me this book, go give me that book, and just reading and learning. Because everything I was learning, I was like, oh, well, that's what happened to me, you know, and it is real. Heaven, hell, it's all real. And demonic activity, you know, just learning all about the truths of this world.
So when you started reading these books, you were finally able to understand what happened in a way that made everything make sense. So you were very confused when all of that was happening. You had no idea what was real, what wasn't. And by reading the Bible, by reading books from Christian authors about demonology and that sort of stuff, you finally saw what they, essentially what they were describing was exactly what you had experienced, correct?
Yeah, all I can say is I got a lot of answers, and it was the only thing that made me feel better. So, I mean, that's it. It's the only thing that would make me feel better is learning about God, heaven, the truth, all of the truths of this world, you know, the Christianity, all of it. It's the only thing that made me feel better. That's all I can say.
Okay, so what, after that point, what happened? Because you said you were 2 weeks in your parents' basement reading books, right? Eventually, you moved out of there. So what happened after that? How was your life transformed? Because we have to remember, before that, you didn't believe in anything about God and Christianity and spirituality at all. So how was your life transformed, and what happened once you finally were able to come back to some sort of normal life?
At that point, I moved. I had to get out of town. I had to get away from everybody. I went to Phoenix, and I moved in with a friend of mine, and I got a job at a restaurant, and I just started working, waiting tables. Still very confused, just trying to learn, you know, very interested in Christianity, and time was going by, and I wanted to go to church. And I remember, you know, asking people, I'd never been to church. Well, I've been to church with my mom a couple times when I was younger, but I wanted to go to church. And so I was asking, you know, friends if they would go to church with me. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll go on Sunday, but they never would. And it's a funny story how God led me to this church, Calvary Chapel. I was at the gym one day working out, and I was talking to this one guy, and I mentioned how I want to go to church, you know, and he's like, oh, you should go to Calvary. And then another day I was at the mall, and I went to the food court to get some food, and it was really crowded, and I'm walking around with my tray of food, and there's nowhere to sit, right? Nowhere to sit, but there was this little old lady sitting there by herself, and I said, ma'am, may I sit there with you? And she's like, oh, yeah. We had a great conversation. She told me I should go to Calvary. And then even at my work, I was working as a waiter, the bartender of all people. She said, you know, you should go to Calvary. I'm like, man, what is this Calvary place, right? So I ended up just going by myself. I went to this church in Phoenix, Calvary, and that's where my life really changed.
And that was the first time you went to church, and the first time you went to church, your life changed. Tell me the story of that day.
It was a regular church service as far as I would know, and then towards the end of the service, the pastor said, does anybody in the room want to give their life to Jesus? Anybody want to, you know, invite Jesus into your heart? And raise your hand, he said. And I'm like, well, I do, you know. So I raised my hand up in the air, and you know, he said, close your eyes, and he prayed for everybody that raised their hand. And then this guy next to me, he like elbowed me and said, good job, man. I'm like, man, you just elbowed me pretty hard. I was like, well, what did I do? What did I do? And he's like, you just gave your life to the Lord. I'm like, I did? He's like, yeah. And he was so excited. And I'm like, I don't know what he's so excited about, you know? And they said, everybody that raised your hand, you're going to go to this back room, and, you know, you're going to talk to somebody, and they're going to give you a Bible, and they're going to talk to you about what you just did. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then they moved us into this back room, everybody that raised their hand. And I remember I walked into this room, and there was this huge guy. He was like 6'8", and he stood up and he shook my hand and he looked me in the eye and he said, bro, did you just give your life to the Lord? And I was like, I think so. he's like, bro, we're going to heaven together, bro. And it was just like, I felt something. I don't know what it was, but I felt something like powerful. And he sat there and talked to me till like 10 o'clock at night. And just, I had all these questions, you know, the regular questions, like, what about this? What about that? What about all these other religions and this and that and all the things that, you know, all the questions people have. And he would just go to the Bible every time and answer every question, you know, with what the Bible has to say. And it all just made so much sense. And I knew right then and there, I was like changed. Like, what is this? This is something. This is the way it's going to be for me from now on. Like, this is powerful. This is what I needed.
Right. That's beautiful. And you were able to heal from the confusion and the dread of life that you had at that point in your life. There was nothing seemed to make sense. And finally, that gave you the answers that you were looking for. And I think there's a lot of people today that are in the same position as what you were in, where you have questions about everything, questions about purpose of life, questions about spirituality and whatnot. And the Bible and this guy at church, which to me, I think it's fascinating that it's literally the first time you went to church, like not counting the times when you were a child, because you didn't go to church on your own, but it's the first time they went to church that this happened, which I think is it's pretty interesting. And how did your life change after giving your life to Jesus on that day?
I was doing great. I was in Phoenix. I was living with him. I ended up moving out of the place I was living with my friend. And I actually moved in with that guy, and he discipled me for like 2 years. And we just lived for Jesus. We would go to church Sundays, Wednesdays. We would go feed the homeless. He was always doing something with the church, involved with the church, always stuff going on. And I even went to work with him. He was a mortgage loan officer, and I would go to work with him and trying to learn that business. And I was just his little buddy, you know, like, and he taught me all about how to be a Christian, you know? And then one night we were at a Wednesday night church service, and the guy who was teaching, he said something about listening to God, if God's trying to tell you something, and, you know, something along those lines. And after the service, I remember telling the guy next to me, we were talking, and I said, yeah, I feel like God's telling me to go back to Tucson, go back to my hometown, you know, just casually just mentioned that to him. And he looked at me and he was like, wait, you think God's telling you to go back to your hometown? And I was like, yeah, I think so. You know, it's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you should go. I left the next day. The next morning, I grabbed my stuff. I didn't have much. And I got in the car and I went back to my hometown.
And you went back to your family, who was, I'm pretty sure your mom was pretty excited at that time. But the rest of your family were still atheists. Your brothers and your dad didn't believe in anything. And you came back with this new knowledge and experience. So how was it, the relationship between all of you?
Both my brothers were not doing great. They were on drugs, and my dad was—he wasn't a bad guy. He's just himself. He could probably be doing better, you know, in his marriage with my mom. And when I got back, I was telling everybody about Jesus. You got to have this Jesus in your life. You got to become a Christian, you know. And of course, they were like, "What are you talking about? You're crazy, man!" And I would tell my oldest brother, I would tell him, you got to meet Jesus, bro. And he'd be like, yeah, you know, I've been trying to find that guy, you know, like all sarcastic. But they weren't hearing it at first.
And by saying at first, you're insinuating that eventually they did. So what happened for them to hear what you were saying?
Eventually they did. Both brothers became Christian, and my father. And my dad goes to church now every Sunday. He's a member, you know, they're members at a church. And it was pretty unbelievable. I actually baptized my oldest brother in a church service. Yeah.
So your near-death experience, obviously was very traumatic for you, but it ended up bringing you into like bringing you into knowing Jesus, changed your life completely. But not only that, it changed the life of your both your brothers who are on drugs. And imagine your dad's also doing better now. You said he wasn't doing that bad, but it changed his life too. So it changed your life, both your brothers and your dad.
Yeah.
And I have a few questions for you. Because every time where the question of drugs happens with an NDE or a near-death experience, the natural reaction of most people is to say that it's a hallucination. So I want to give you the chance to explain why you think that it wasn't.
I can prove that it wasn't the drugs because I've had that same experience come over me way after this incident. I quit drugs completely. I quit everything. 100% sober now. But I've had that anxious, I think demonic power try to come over me and try to give me that same feeling that I was feeling that night. And I can easily get rid of it by, you know, praying or demanding in Jesus' name, you leave me alone. But it's tried to come over me again many other times after this experience. You know, so I'm obviously in a spiritual battle here, you know, and it's not drugs.
Your story is fascinating. And I want to ask you this question before we end it. If you had a message to say to the world or to someone that was in a situation that was similar to yours before all that started, what would it be?
Well, first of all, don't do drugs. If you ever find yourself in a near-death experience and you feel death like wrapping itself around you and trying to pull you down, that is not God, that is not Jesus, and fight to get away from that and fight to stay alive and learn the truths of this world. This is a spiritual world we're in. We're spiritual beings trapped in physical bodies. And I would invite everybody to learn the truth, you know?
I love that. Yeah.
Well, and I would also leave people with my favorite verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Almost False Podcast. If this video blessed you, consider sending it to someone that you think would also benefit from it. And if you enjoy these kinds of conversations, come hang out with us and join our Discord server where you can talk to me and other awesome people. The link is in the description. Also, if you want to be on the show, you can go to almostfalse.net and submit your story there. We would love to hear from you. With that being said, I hope you have a great rest of your day. Stay blessed.